I'm Steve Potter, and this is Cityscape. Last night, Opera Theatre of St. Louis launched a new concert series, Opera Tastings, which continues tonight and tomorrow night. Conductor and St. Louis native Ryan McAdams is back in town and is emceeing this. Soprano Sydney Mancasola, is one of the four performers in the series, and they join us now. Welcome to you both.
Thank you so much.
Mancasola. I pronounced that correctly, Sydney?
Yes, you did a good job.
Okay, good.
Well, it always trips people up a little bit.
Does it? I practiced and everything. Ryan, listen, the concept for Opera Tastings is to introduce opera to people who maybe have never seen opera before. Is that what you're going for?
That's exactly right. It's a pilot program that has been developed by the rather remarkable and creative team over at Opera Theatre. And it's an opportunity for people who maybe haven't been in, you know, direct contact with opera singers to experience it for the first time in a very intimate and very sort of delicious setting.
Non-threatening.
Yes. Although, you know, the proximity is pretty extreme.
Pretty
some of these singers, we were right on top of them. It was like laying down at the tarmac at Lambert while the planes are coming in. But what we did was we talked to these young artists, and we were so lucky to get all of them in, and we pooled together a great menu of opera arias and opera ensembles, and then we selected and collaborated with chefs and sommeliers and beer masters all around town, and I actually sat down and wrote a list of adjectives for every single number and then sent that over to them, and that fired up their imaginations, and they created pairings of food and wine and beer for every single number. And then we gave everybody $10 tickets.
Huh. Well, you know, you talk about this is designed maybe to expose people to opera that have never seen an opera before. Is that a challenge? I mean, I guess, do people have a preconception in their mind of what opera is, and maybe they think they don't like it?
I think so. I think there's definitely some ideas and sort of like old set in ideas about what opera is, and I think opera has transformed quite a bit over the years. And you know, I always tell people who come to the opera and maybe it's their first time, you know, I didn't love it at first glance either. I always tell them it's something that and I was a musician my whole life, so I was maybe set up better to understand the musical scape of opera than others. But there's something that can be kind of ostracizing about it. But it's one of those things that the more you invest in it, the more it opens up to you. It can be a world that you really can – there's no end to what you can discover from opera. And at the core of it, it's human voices, which we all have, whether or not we've trained them, expressing – very core human emotion. So I think there really is something in it for everyone, and it's just about getting used to some of the less normal, you know, sounds and ideas that come out in the repertoire. But ultimately, the core of it is something that everyone can connect to.
Well, how did it go last night? You were at Herbie's 72 in the Central West End.
Mm-hmm. I was so ready to come in here and talk in great detail about, you know, the philosophy behind these things, but I'm still glowing from what the indecent amount of fun that we had last night.
It was pretty indecent.
It was sold out. All three nights are sold out. And we had this amazing, diverse group of people. So many of them had never experienced opera before. And, you know, like with anything, three really delicious glasses of wine help anything go down. But, you know, because the tickets were only $10, and those of them who bought tickets then got a $10 discount on any of the performances for the season this summer at Opera Theatre, I think everyone walked in with the sense of, well, what do I have to lose? And they walked out really being converts to the experience. I think a lot of people can get intimidated by the intricate plots and the sort of immense detail and grandeur of opera, but to sort of put people in a space with some of the most shamelessly flirtatious and talented young singers in the world. And we were all shameless last night, especially after the second course. But and put them in a place where they have no choice but to just receive this just blast of humanity and artistry at them. They were overwhelmed, I think.
What kind of reaction do you get from people that hadn't seen opera before?
So many things. So many things from the idea that they had no idea it could be so rich and so moving and so relevant. This is something that Opera Theatre does better than almost any other company I know. We were talking about this last night. We all went out for pizza after the show, and we were talking about how the sort of the membrane between Opera Theatre of St. Louis and its community is almost non-existent. It's thinner than almost any other arts organization I know in America. And Opera Theatre has an amazing way of making these productions and this artistry seem effortlessly relevant to anyone who walks in the door.
Well, Sydney, as a performer, how does that work for you? Do you treat an event like these opera tastings that you did last night, tonight, and tomorrow differently than when you're performing in front of an audience that is accustomed to opera? Do you approach it any differently?
I get really excited about events like this because it's a chance for me to have a direct response from the audience and to see very viscerally how they're responding to what I'm doing as a performer. So I think that I've had the opportunity to do many events like this, maybe not just exactly like this, but they're so helpful as a performer to connect with the audience and really rewarding because you can see them. Like I saw the journey that they took over the evening and sort of the apprehension that I sensed at first, but then by the end how they were really transformed by the experience and starting to really open up to it. And maybe that was the booze talking, but I think I really do think that they were opening up to this world that I hold so dear. And so in that way, it is really different, and I really enjoy these kind of opportunities.
Well, did you find, are these first-timers generally young people?
Last night, there was a good amount of young people represented, and I think that was the goal. And Ryan said it very well. Opera theater has a great way of attracting people and being very intelligent about how they attract their audience, and I think this event sort of hooking people in with the food and the wine. It was a great way to sort of sweeten the deal and then just set the stage for them to be exposed to this music.
So tonight you're doing it at Moulin, which is on Shoto, and tomorrow night at the Dark Room, which is in Grand Center. Is it the same show at all three venues?
Well, I think it's going to change from venue to venue. Last night, we had to kind of deal with two rooms that were separated by a wall, and the singers were amazing about sort of maneuvering in and out of these spaces without losing contact with both sides. Every space is going to be different. I have a pretty intensive and in-depth script about the way I talk about every number and every aria and every duet, and so probably the way I talk about it will change depending on the energy of the space.
Can you be a little more specific about how you tailor the food to fit the music?
Thankfully, that was not up to us. We really felt deeply collaborated with from the chef last night. It was really touching to me with Chris Vomund, who came out, who works at Herbie's and is the head chef there, came out and really went into such detail about how every aria that he had learned and listened to had affected him. And, I think Una Voce Poco Fa was paired with Ceviche. Was that about right? And at one point, he was talking about the elegance of an aria masking a great fury. And he said, "Well, if that's not bourbon, I don't know what is." And that seemed to register with the crowd.
Uh-huh. Sydney, do you get to eat?
Oh, well, we did sort of. As the evening was going on, we were singing, but we also started to sort of get very envious of the audience and the tastings that they were experiencing. So at the end of the night, one of us got up the courage to ask for a little tasting ourselves, and they did feed us. So we were very lucky.
I literally forgot to eat dinner before last night, and about halfway through I realized, like, this is like some sort of torture. It's like a Greek myth. I'm condemned to wander through this restaurant of extraordinary food and not be able to eat any of it. So we feasted afterwards.
Well, Sydney, you're one of, I think it's four young artists that perform in this, correct?
Mm-hmm,
what can
yes.
you tell me about the other three?
Oh, they're all totally incredible. It's been a really fun experience. Shirin Eskandani is a mezzo-soprano who was here when I was here as a young artist in 2011. So when I saw that she was on the docket, I was so excited. She's a great person, a dear friend. And then the other two, there's a tenor and a baritone, and I'm not going to attempt their last names, but they are equally as excellent. And from what I understand, they were young artists here last season. And they're great singers. It's really a treat. I haven't heard so much talent in three other colleagues that I've been performing with.
Ryan Sydney refers to the young artists, which she is, and maybe we should be clear that's a program that Opera Theatre does to encourage and nurture young performers.
That's right. Opera Theatre has an amazing track record. Opera Theatre is sort of a funnel system for really the best young singers in the country to come through. I mean, if you look at the roster of great American opera companies, either you will see that Opera Theatre is on these singers' resume, or you'll think, how did they bypass St. Louis? What got in the way of them showing up here? Every year they bring in, they have open auditions, they hear hundreds, if not thousands, of singers.
I read it was 1,000.
Yeah. They select a handful handful. They come in, and most of them are in all four shows. Some of them play small roles. They all form the ensemble. They all form the chorus of each production. And then many of them come back year after year, and some of them actually end up graduating and being invited back for principal roles, like Sydney.
Yeah, but what's been the effect of that on your career, having an opportunity like that?
Oh, I think OTSL was totally pivotal for me as my development in this career. I had the opportunity to come kind of very early on to St. Louis and participate in the Young Artist Program, and it was just the right amount of nurture and sort of showing you what it takes to be up there singing, and I'm very, very feel very fortunate that they've invited me back.
Well, let's share some of your work. Sydney, we have a recording. This was from a couple of years ago. You were the grand finals winner of the Metropolitan Opera National Council auditions. And I'll let you explain to me what exactly that is in a moment. But what can you share with us?
Well, the selection you guys are going to play is Caro Nome, which is from my very favorite opera, Rigoletto. And it's by Verdi. And the aria is a young girl who has fallen in love for the first time. And she's sort of musing on her first experiences of love.
And that's soprano Sydney Mancasola. Also, Ryan McAdams, conductor, is here. We're talking about Opera Theater of St. Louis. That was beautiful.
Thank you.
So tell me about the National Council auditions. What it is exactly?
Well, people describe it as like the American Idol of opera. It's a competition that happens every year for the Metropolitan Opera, a way for them to sort of search out and track young singers. And it starts sort of as a wide national level, district level, and there's several rounds, and you end up singing, if you make it all the way, singing on the stage of the Metropolitan Opera with their orchestra.
That's something. Well, this is congratulations to Opera Theater. This is their 40th season, which is about to begin. You're both included in the season. I think, Ryan, you're conducting the first?
I'm conducting Barbara Seville, opening May 23rd.
Uh-huh. And Sydney?
I will be singing in La Rondine, which opens on the 30th, I believe.
Tell us a little bit more about the season.
Well, you know, one of the really great opportunities about working at Opera Theater is not so much the show that you're in, but the fact that you get to go to all the other shows, because you get to watch so many different artists working at such a high level in completely different styles and languages. You learn so much just being in the space. Barbara Seville is, of course, the great classic comic opera in operatic history. It is simultaneously maybe the most funny and most beautiful opera ever written, kind of continuously at the same time. And it's one of those operas where you simply can't go wrong bringing anyone who has any hesitation about going to an opera. Just hit them over the head and put them in a seat. They will have an amazing time.
And Sydney, yours is a romance.
Yes, it is. Very much so. Sort of very Puccini, very lush, beautiful music, gorgeous music. it's really about two couples that are in love, one specifically, and then I'm playing the role of Lisette, which is a little bit of the comic relief for the evening. Mm-hmm.
Now, Sydney, you're originally from California. What part?
I'm from Redding, California.
Where's that?
That's what everyone always asks. It's almost to Oregon. It's very northern California.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you started as, what was it, as a violinist? That's how you began your musical career?
I did, yeah. My sister played the violin, and so when I was two, I begged my mom to let me have a shot at it. So that's how I got my start.
And Ryan, we happen to know your dad, who's a local actor around town.
Mm-hmm. He's a director for a very long time and was an actor, I think, right when he first moved to St. Louis.
Jerry. Yes. And congratulations. I just want to mention you got married a week ago.
I did. We tied
and
that.
And you said this has been the busiest time in your life, and it's not just because of that.
It's the, man, it's the life of a performing artist. It's the greatest life you can imagine. We had to literally cram the legal side of our wedding into the only 2 days we were both in New York, but thankfully we get a whole weekend celebration in the UK in a few months.
Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
And on Opera Tastings, which is going on right now, unfortunately sold out, but then there's the 40th anniversary season coming up. Just right around the corner.
It's going to be amazing season.
So that's conductor Ryan McAdams. We've also been talking to soprano Cindy Macasola. Thank you both for being here so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I hope people will join Don Marsh on Monday for St. Louis on the Air, when he'll talk about spring gardening with experts from the Missouri Botanical Garden. So get your questions ready for that. Archive versions of past Cityscape programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/cityscape. Also, go there if you want to know more about what Opera Theater is doing. Cityscape is produced by Mary Edwards, Alex Hoyer, and Erica Smith, with production assistance from Aaron Dorr and Katie Cook. The executive producer is Robert Peterson. Cityscape is made possible in part by the Arts and Education Council of Greater St. Louis, the Regional Arts Commission, and the Missouri Arts Council, a state agency. Cityscape is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. I'm Steve Potter. Thanks for listening. I hope you'll join us next week.